All right. Good evening, everybody. Happy Tuesday. This is Jeff on Moving Train Radio in New Jersey with Heidi and Dave in Minneapolis. And this is our 50th show. Did you know that?
Oh, my God. Really?
Like, who would have thought? Who would have thought when we were doing this, we'd still be doing it a year later?
Holy shit.
The same fervor, the same enthusiasm.
Wow! I'm in shock. I had no idea. I had no idea it was 50 episodes already.
Yeah,
that's insane.
So we've been on like almost every week. We've only missed just a handful of Tuesdays. Okay, so I thought this was going to be a slow news week, and then we have a couple of things came up today. President Obama vetoed the Keystone Pipeline, which that's his first veto, right? Am I right?
Third veto. I think it's third. Yeah, it's his third veto. I had to look that up myself because it looked like every post I was seeing, somebody was saying first, somebody was saying another number, so I looked it up. It was a third. So
okay.
It was just
okay. Good. And then we, the Justice Department decided not to push a civil rights case against George Zimmerman in the Trayvon Martin case. So it was kind of a letdown.
I knew that was going to happen.
We've got, we've got a couple things that happened over the course of the week, like the Oscars, which I'm really not that interested in. I'm not interested in any award shows at all. But with this American Sniper trial going on, I don't see how this guy, this has to be defendant. How was he able to get a fair trial with all this pro publicity? And by the way, he's accused of killing two people. It's Chris
right.
Kyle and another guy who they never named.
Right.
Yeah. But to have Chris Kyle's widow on the red carpet, I thought was like really inappropriate.
I didn't understand that myself. Yeah. I mean, you know, and she was carrying his dog tags. I don't know if you knew that part of it, but she was on the red carpet with his, you know, carrying his dog tags in her hand. Now, you know, and I understand, you know, it's her husband, she loves him, and I just wasn't sure why she would be on the red carpet. I mean, that seemed
no
a little...
No business being there.
You know, I mean, they made a movie about Stephen Hawking. I didn't see Stephen Hawking there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe it just felt a little creepy, and maybe it was... you know, sometimes those movies kind of, you know, they and I haven't seen the movie, and I won't. I don't watch those types of movies. I don't watch movies that have a lot of killing in them. It's just not my thing. And you know, I mean, I share your incredulity about why she would be there. You didn't watch it all then, the Oscars. You said you don't like award shows.
No, I just wasn't that interested. I am glad that American Sniper didn't win anything. Anything that pisses off teabaggers is, is okay by
me. I watched it. I watch it usually every year, and usually it's because I've watched some of the movies that they have up for Best Picture, or I really like. I like movies. I watch a lot of them, or at least I watch more of them than I used to. You know, and it's, you know, like this year I saw Boyhood. which I thought was amazing. I saw Selma, which I also thought was amazing. I watched the Grand Budapest Hotel, which is bizarre. It was completely bizarre. And then The Judge, which wasn't spoken about much, but it was a very good movie as well. Yeah, and I wanted to see Wild, the Reese Witherspoon one, but I didn't, you know, so those are the ones that I was interested in seeing, and, you know, I am a girl, so I like to see the clothes. I know. But I do like to see the dresses. It's
That's
just kind
right.
of a thing.
You know, a lot of people like it. I just don't, you know, it's just not my thing, and I'm just glad that What an American Sniper win. What some minor was, right?
Yeah, they won. You know, they won. I think something. I know they didn't win costume or anything like that. I think it was like sound quality or something like that.
So they got
They
got for the gun, getting the gunshot sounds.
So just so everybody knows, the website's kind of freaking out. So if you are on hold, I know Dave at least is on hold. Did you want to grab Dave right now, Jeff? That it came back up.
Because this will settle down. This happens almost every week. First couple of minutes, garbled, and then settles down. I just want to say one thing, or actually two things, before we move on.
Okay.
We had a great show last week with Sharonda, and if anybody missed that, they should listen to the replay. And you know, just because February is over doesn't mean we have to stop talking about Black history. So I would like to have her on again sometime. I like when I come out of these things and I've learned something. So that was really she was really really terrific. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, if I was a high school student, I'd want to take her class. You know, I mean, because it just seems so interesting that and that's what she's, you know, talking about. Like I said before, I grew up in a small town, so, you know, we didn't get that kind of interesting history. It was all pretty, you know, boring in a way, not all of it, but some of it. So it's really nice to see and hear stuff that really piques interest like that. So, yeah, she was great last week. So you have on this list here the Daytona 500. Now, that's something that I have
You know what? All I did, I went down, I opened up Google News.
Oh, okay.
And whatever trending topics I tagged on there. The reason for that is so this thing will come up on Google searches down the road.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean we have to talk about that. I tagged stuff that's current events and...
Okay. Now,
our shows do come up on Google searches, by the way.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay.
You want to let Mr. Metric System, on?
Yeah. Okay. We'll let Dave. Here it comes. Okay, Dave, you're on the air.
All right. That's actually that's one of my three things tonight. I'm going to talk about three things. And then I'm going to listen. If nobody pisses me off, I'm going to keep listening. And if they do, I can go back to watching Villanova hoops. So, I mean, it's a good night for me regardless.
All right, can you tell us why you hate America?
That's the middle one. That's the one I won't forget. But first, American Sniper. The trial, the facts, not the movie.
Yes.
Has everybody been so... First, do I have this fact right? The American Sniper was killed by a fellow... disturbed vet that the American sniper chose a rifle range as the part, the place to give him some recreational healing therapy.
Right.
Was he thinking? I mean, you know, I mean, couldn't they go on fishing or swimming or something? I mean,
I'm not watching the trial. I don't even know if it's televised, but I watch CNN every night, and they have a recap, and you know, so they were sitting in the truck with him. So Kyle and the other guy that was killed were sitting in the front seat. This guy was sitting in the back seat, and
I thought they brought him there.
What?
Didn't they bring him there?
Yeah, they were in the truck with him. They brought him there, and they are texting to each other, "This guy's fucking nuts." And that's what they were saying.
Why would you bring a nut to a rifle range? I mean, take him to Dairy Queen. I mean,
you know, it doesn't make any sense to me either. No.
Okay,
and
I feel sorry for him and his widow, but, you know, God, you know, take some responsibility for yourself. Okay.
I know.
Enough said. Okay, why does Hamilton hate America? Okay, I am actually going to take, I'm going to go out of character here, and I'm going to take what you guys are making into a humorous situation and try to make it somewhat serious. And I do believe, this, you know, goes all the way back to Vietnam, you know, I'm a little older than you guys, that love it or leave it thing really started as agree with everything the right or the people in power say, or you weren't an American. And because I didn't agree with that, even though I served, you know, under, well, protest or mixed messages, I mean, I really feel that in some way robbed me of my patriotism. That, you know, I was told that the flag, you know, didn't mean, you know, 48 or 50, how many states? 50 states united. You know, the flag meant, you know, you had to believe in the Christian God and you had to believe, you know, in the war. And you weren't supposed to dissent to anything. And, I mean, I know, like, in a way, things have, like, moderated and changed. But I don't think I and some other people ever really got over that. You know, we were made to be put on the outside of what a good American is. Mm-hmm. And perhaps we still are. So, I mean, you know, and so I, there was... And one thing I'll tell you about, like, love a country or love in the military, I don't know how often any of you have been, either in this country or anywhere else, to one of those cemeteries where as far as you can look, you can't see past thousands of white crosses with an occasional Star of David dropped in there as well. I mean, and you just look at all these people, you know, that died. Now well up in that as quick as anybody. So, I mean, you know, I do love my country.
Yeah.
I think I might have mentioned this before, so forgive me. There's one of those in the Philippines, which I visited both as a child in the 50s, and my mother, you know, take our Cub Scout troops there so we'd learn and stuff. But I was again there in the 90s, the day before Gulf War I was ready to start. And it's like I'm standing out there looking at all these dead, you know, all these graves and saying, you know, we're going to start this all over again, you know, and it was very moving. So that's why I want America to change the world. And I do think, you know, on a serious note, I think whether you learn to love soccer or not is not going to help world peace stuff. So Jeff can hate soccer as much as he wants, but I mean what does hating the metric system do? You know, I mean, that just supports a company, and that supports, you know, that supports a company that gets to make two sets of tools and some poor automotive technician that has to buy two sets of everything, you know, one in inches and one in meters. So it's great to be us. If we ever came around, you know, it would be easier. And learning the temperature thing takes about 10 minutes. I mean, I lived in Celsius areas, and you can start to discuss temperature in Celsius in no time. Funny thing, I remember Australian friends of mine, people that would be in their 50s now, that this was like 20 years ago in the 90s, like they were in their 30s or something, had no concept of the English system. They're like the transformation was so complete. This one woman was a runner. I said something about running, you know, what do you run in the morning, about 5 miles? And she looked at me, she goes, how much is that? She had no idea. Okay, third topic, and then I'm going to shut up. No, Blake, Jeff hasn't even piped in. Okay, last week I wasn't able to catch the Black History thing. One question I have, maybe if somebody, you know, calls in later, or maybe if one of you guys knows it, if we look back over the past 20, 30, 40 years, there's black heroes that are better accepted in the black community. You know, let's say Jesse Jackson or Malcolm X or a number of people, you know, as opposed to somebody like Martin Luther King that's more universal, accepted by whites and blacks as well. And I'm wondering if you go back 100 years or more, I mean, do black kids learn about the same Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver, you know, Dubois, do they learn about the same black heroes that the mainstream does, or are there black people in history that kids don't know much about? Do you have any idea, either of you?
Yeah, I'll take that. It depends on who your teacher is, Dave. It's been a long time since I've been in a high school. Our guest last week is a high school teacher who teaches, among other things, you know, social studies and also African American studies. And she, you know, her exact words was, Martin Luther King is the Easter Bunny. We don't talk about him. Pete talked about Booker T. Washington, W.E.B. Du Bois. There's a lot more to George Washington Carver than just peanuts. To answer your question, it depends on your teacher. So if I had Miss Allen as my teacher, we would learn more nuanced version of black history, and a more honest and with the good and the bad, and not just like all the nifty things that George Washington Carver did with peanuts, and not just things like Harriet Tubman and that kind of thing. So I really don't know. In general, regular American history, I remember, you know, we didn't learn much except that slavery was a thing, and that the Civil War, was about slavery. But I went to high school north of the Mason-Dixon line, so it depends on your teacher. If you have a teacher who's passionate on the subject and knows a lot about the people other than Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, you'll learn that. But I guess it really depends on the teacher, and it depends on if the school allows how much leeway the school gives the teacher in developing the curriculum. So we kind of got a mini lesson last week on that kind of stuff. on the stuff that we didn't that you don't learn, you know, in your everyday thing. And also, Ed, you know, when I say you hate America, you know what I mean. I'm just breaking your balls because this you know, America, love it or leave it thing. You know, it had a resurgence after 9/11, and you know, and if you question, you know, you remember, you know, the Dixie Chicks and their, you know, the Dixie Chicks album burning.
I like the Dixie Chicks even before they did that. I mean, you know, so yeah. I was on both sides of the fence.
I mean,
there.
I really never heard of them before that.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm the only Boston liberal that loves country music. I'm a very complex individual. You can't pigeonhole me.
I'm so sick. Anytime I go to Walgreens, like right before I check out, they said, you want to buy a candy bar for the troops? And I say, no. Like, why? What do you mean buy a candy bar for the troops? Like what do? I buy the candy bar? And then you put it in a FedEx package and send it to what the fuck, yeah? And it's even worse where I work. Everybody here knows where I work, but I don't say it. I don't talk about it publicly. It's rammed down our throats constantly. We're always being asked to do something to support the troops, and when somebody asks me, I say no. I say, why not? I say, well, that's why I pay taxes. You know? I say, do you support the troops? No, I don't. You know, I don't support the troops. What are you going to do about it?
I do support the troops. I don't support the people that give them their fucking orders. But
yeah.
Okay, oh, that got me going, though, for a second. Neither of you went to Catholic school in the Midwest as long ago as I did. Ever heard of this thing? The charity that they most shove down our throats, and you're not going to believe this till you hear it, but I mean, this is God's honest truth, not embellishing one word, was buying pagan babies. You brought in money.
We
to buy a pagan baby. I mean, you know, you.
What
I think like the second
baby?
Grader always
what
some
is
little
that?
Black.
Why? You have explained what?
I know, but I mean, what it meant. I guess it was just money for missions in Africa. But I mean, all these little kids are expecting some little black infant to show up in the mail one day. But it was one of those great mysteries of 50s Catholicism. Have you ever heard of that, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. We had that in New Jersey. We had that, too.
Was it actually called that, though? Buying pagan babies? Saving up to buy a pagan baby?
Yeah, I think my generation was like the tail end of that. And then they started calling it the missions. But when I was in first, second grade, we had cardboard, foldable cardboard, you know, like a cardboard box that you fold up. A little spot and put you're supposed to put a certain amount of coins in it, you know, every week and turn your money in to buy a pagan baby. Oh yeah, I remember that.
Oh my God! No, I've never heard of such a thing.
It makes sending a candy bar to the troops look sensible. I mean, that's why.
What it probably was, it's probably that same thing that, well, it used to be Sally Struthers, and now it's Alyssa Milano, where for, you know, 92 cents a day, you can, you know,
save the children.
Well, that was just, I mean, that's mostly just to feed them and clothe them and stuff, not to God-eyes them, isn't it?
No,
I meant this Sally Struthers thing. That's not overly religious, I don't think.
So they don't go to hell.
Yeah. You can't eat the Bible. You can't make a house bond, either idea. Good. Oh, my goodness. Hey, well, I just learned something today. Buy pagan babies. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Now it's long. I don't know how this came up. This is tied in with religion. I have not unloaded this little bon mot to anybody yet. So you guys are the first. And if there is a teeny bit of, well, racism or sexism in it, I do apologize. But Bobby Jindal, you've all heard of him, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
He has come out with some fairly anti-Muslim, anti-Islam comments lately about watching him and stuff like that, right?
Right.
Okay. I feel ashamed to say it, but even if the man is now a weekly communicant Catholic, he was raised in a Hindu household. I don't think that's exactly the best people we should be looking at how to treat Muslims, but that's just me. But I guess you get in trouble if you went on TV and said that, right? Would you?
I don't know.
The guy was raised in a Hindu household, and we're listening to him as to how to treat Muslims. I mean, Jesus Christ.
He went to
Ian Paisley
is
to treat Catholics? I mean, I don't think so, right?
No. The track record is probably not the greatest. Yeah, that would not be the best direction to go.
Just,
absolutely.
All right. What do you guys want to talk about? We've had enough of me.
Jeff, did you want to talk about Papa Bear and his problem with the Falkland Islands?
What? Who had problem with the Falkland Islands?
Riley?
I think you know more about that than I do, Heidi. Go ahead.
So it's actually kind of a funny story, actually. Really because of the fact that he's got to be, and by the way, I just was, while we were kind of talking, I kind of Googled it. Now, did you know he's lying about the suicide of JFK's assassination figure, says a former colleague? So there's all kinds of crap now. But supposedly he lied about being in combat, quote unquote combat. He was 1,000 miles away from where combat was going on in the Falkland Islands, and he was in Buenos Aires. And he said there was riots in the streets and people were getting shot at. His cameraman got whacked in the head, fell down on the ground. He was bleeding from the ear, and O'Reilly had to drag him to safety while all of his other CBS colleagues were hunkered down in the hotel. And cowering like dogs, that's what he said. And the problem is, and I actually watched it, I think it was Sunday on CNN, one of his old CBS colleagues was on there saying, okay, this is bullshit, we were all out there. There was a riot, but one of the people that were there, not the same guy that was on CNN, but somebody else that was there, said that he also covered Ferguson last year, and he said that the Ferguson thing was way worse than what was going on at the same place that O'Reilly was saying he was involved in this protest or this riot or whatever he called it. And he's just making things up off the top of his head to make it sound good is pretty much what the gist of it is. So the story came out from Mother Jones. That was who started this whole thing. And he has attacked Mother Jones as a right wing or a left wing, low level media, gutter snipe, his usual verbiage. The problem is their stuff, they pretty much have interviewed everybody that was there, and they say that his story is bullshit. One of the other things that this guy was saying on CNN was that because of the fact that it could be a volatile situation, everybody was supposed to kind of, you know, be smart about going out. And there was, during this one particular time, during this whole time that they were in this area, there was some unrest, and they were not supposed to, according to CBS, they were not supposed to put themselves in the middle of something because they weren't going to have help. They weren't going to have security. They weren't going to have someone looking out for them. If something went ugly, they were kind of on their own, which, you know, two Americans there, probably not a good thing. Well, the rest of them listened and kind of stayed together, but O'Reilly didn't. And he went out with his cameraman, really putting him and his cameraman in danger and doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing during this riot or protest or whatever you want to call it. And nobody died, according to the statistics, and everybody was there. They didn't see anybody that died or hear of anybody that was killed. But he was let go from CBS shortly after this. And I don't, you know, I've been trying to find, you know, good information about where I went. I mean, I know with that, he did that Current Affair program, and then he went to Fox News. Yeah, Current Affair he was with for, what, like 5 years? He was a host of that, which is, you know, could not be considered a, you know, you're not going to win an Edgar R. Murrow Award, you know, working for a Current Affair. So, but that's the basic gist of the story. It's actually kind of funny, and he just blasted everybody that's talking about it, but he's never said that it's not true. He's just calling people gutter snipes and saying that he's going to go after them and all this other stuff, but he's never said it's not true.
Right.
And the big thing is, he keeps saying it's a war zone, and they're like, you're 1,000 miles away from the war. It's not a war zone. It's just not. It's just, you know, talking yourself up and trying to, you know, puff up your masculinity to sound all tough, when in fact it wasn't anything like that. So, yeah, so it's pretty funny that he was a war. He said he was a war correspondent, but he was 1,000 miles away.
Well, you know,
yeah. On the non-funny side, I think the award for putting everybody off the most this week has to go to Rudy Giuliani. I mean, I think, you know, hands down the winner this week of, you know, being the biggest gift.
If anybody is on hold, we know you're there, and we didn't forget you, so we'll get you on soon.
Yeah, we have...
to say about O'Reilly is, you know, he still exists in the Fox bubble, so it's a fact-free zone. So nobody really, we can all, you know, bitch about him lying about whatever, but it doesn't really. I don't think there'll be any kind of consequences to him because of that. Because, you know, Fox is not really a viable, network news outlet. So, whether something's true or not, doesn't really matter. So he won't be. I doubt he'll be sanctioned.
No, he won't be. No, of course not. No, but you know, Jeff, I was going to ask you: do you think perhaps, you know, the war on Christmas could possibly be considered a war zone?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, get that woman back to teach me about Christmas. Get her back here.
Oh my God! Okay, so, all right. So moving on from this. oh my goodness! Yeah, that's pretty funny. So then, have you been following the what they started out calling a road rage shooting in Vegas, and now there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on with this.
It seems to me like there's more. I haven't been reading like a whole lot of real news the past couple of days, but It seems to me that there's more to that story than a simple road rage. Like the shooter and the victim knew each other. They had had some confrontation beforehand.
So I mean, on CNN they've had the defense attorney. Now, you know, defense attorney spins. So, you know, take this with, and of course they also talked to the prosecutor who pretty much said, whatever, that's not true. So, you know, you get spin from both sides. So a couple of things that have come out and they've said, so they did know each other prior to this. There is currently now a rumor, and we don't know exactly where it's coming from, or at least they reported it, but they didn't really give any sort of, you know, this person says for sure there was this happening, except from maybe the suspect. But supposedly there might have been a drug deal going on, and it was over that. And he, the suspect, is saying he feared for his life because these people were coming after him with a gun for whatever reasons, I guess. And he retaliated because he was in fear for his life, which when I first heard that they got this guy and that they knew each other, I said to Dave, I said, now watch, he's going to go to his attorney and he's going to say, I feared for my life because he was, you know, because that kid had a gun too. And he, lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Now, one kind of interesting thing is when the kid was holed up in the house and the cops were trying to negotiate with him to get himself up, they allowed him to get high to smoke a joint before he surrendered. That was like part of their thing to get him out of the house. Which I thought was kind of interesting. I just thought it was, that was okay. I guess that's, you know, that's one way to get him out of the house.
Is Nevada a stand your ground state?
I think that they may possibly be, because his lawyer is going to argue self-defense. And so currently he's charged with murder, attempted murder, and several other charges. And the other thing, and this goes back to him being allowed to smoke pot before he surrendered, is that the defense attorney is saying that you know, clouded his judgment during his interview with the police, of course. So, you know, it's just an odd story. And, you know, and it sounded odd to begin with. And, you know, then he was a block away. And it's like, why? I still am unclear as to why they didn't tell the police a week prior. Hey, by the way, the guy who killed my wife / mom lives a block away. I don't understand. So there's going to be, I think this is going to be a very interesting case as it goes through as well, just with all the nuances. It's just, you know, you have to believe that there's people that watch American news that live in Canada or live in, you know, Great Britain somewhere and just go, what the fuck is going on in that country? You know, because all this stuff is just absolutely insane.
Heidi,
yeah.
Do you know if they ordered or let him order the pizza once he got to the station? Or?
Oh, it doesn't say anything about the pizza, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I mean,
I don't
know.
After, you know, after the pot, he's got to be eating something, I suppose, right?
Yeah, thank you. You know, under humane laws, they'd have to get him a pizza after they got him high.
Pizza, donuts, Doritos. Oh, man. But, yeah, so that story is going to be one that's going to be, I'm sure, watched while, you know, when it goes to court and stuff. Because I don't know. I mean, at this point, I mean, you know, I realize she's dead, and that's terrible and heartbreaking, but at the same time, if you have a confrontation, you don't go home and you don't go home and grab your son whose arm to go find the kid that you have this disagreement with. But I guess if they were, it was over a drug deal, I guess it's kind of difficult to call the police for that, right? So, yeah. But, so was there anything else that you were thinking of? Did you want to talk about the Mall of America thing?
It sounds like
what happened at Mall of America? I do know where it is. It's by you.
Yeah, it's only about 20 miles from me. And it's, I don't know, it's not our favorite place to go, I'll just say that. And it's, yeah, it's too gigantic. But, you know, the what was it, Boko Haram, was that the group that said that they were threatening the three malls, the one in Montreal, there's one in London, and then the one here, Mall of America, threatened, it sounds like they're trying to find lone wolves or something to go after the Mall of America here.
Yeah. I don't believe any of that stuff.
It does give us pause here because we do have a large Somali population.
Right now there's a debate going on in the Congress about funding Homeland Security, right? So
right.
Isn't it so convenient that we suddenly have all these terror threats at malls?
Right, that's true.
They always happen at times like that. They happen when they're going to, you know, fund the Homeland Security. They have whenever there's an election.
Right.
These terror threats are very conveniently timed to whatever is going on in Washington. So it's bullshit to me.
Yeah. You know, for this, you know, we have a large Somali population, and that in and of itself is not a bad thing. The thing that gives you a little pause is there's been a couple people from that community that have went over to, I believe, Syria in the last, like, 5 or 6 years. The nice thing, though, is that their community is very, their community leaders are very good about, you know, especially lately, kind of stopping and going, wait a minute, we have a problem, we need to fix this. And so the young, you know, they're trying to talk to everybody in their community, making sure that everybody's okay, making sure that the kids, you know, because there's vulnerable ages that this stuff usually hits. And talking to them, getting them to understand that, you know, this is not the way to go. And today the leaders of the community went to the Mall of America in solidarity. You know, a lot of them work there. A lot of them bring their families there, how important it is. You know, for me, I don't go to the mall anyway. I find it obnoxious, you know, because it's huge. I mean, if you've ever been there, it's massive. What is it, walking all three floors is like 6 miles. So it's huge. It's capitalism at its finest. And it's obnoxious. But, you know, so it's a huge place. There's a lot of places where people can come in and out and that kind of thing. But as far as, like, if I worried, if I was going to go there, would it stop me from going there? No. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. It's not that big a concern for me. And it seems that most people here are feeling the same way. If it was going to happen, it was going to happen. And surprisingly or interestingly, our mall there's a Mall of America secure mall cop reality show for like 2 years. Just ridiculous.
That's what my kids used to do. Like when they were like teenagers, they didn't have much else to do. They'd go to the mall, and they would fuck with the mall cops. Like they would all stand. Like every mall has like a second floor, and with a railing around, so you could look down. Stairs.
Mm-hmm.
They would stand there, and they would you know, wait for the mall cop to come and tell them to get away from the railing. Then they would move back, and when the mall cop walked away, then they would all run back and lean over the railing again. And, you know, when you're, like, you know, 13 years old, that's a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah.
I guess.
There's four floors.
There's no mall cops.
Like,
no, they don't really have any, you know, any authority to do anything.
Ours work with the Bloomington, Minnesota police. So it's in the city of Bloomington. And so the Bloomington police have a satellite station at the Mall of America. So they have a satellite station there. For example, if you're caught shoplifting, obviously mall cops they can arrest you, quote unquote, but they don't have there's not like a mall jail that you sit in or anything. The Bloomington cops have to bring you to Hennepin County's jail, which is downtown Minneapolis. So
it should be a jail at the mall, because they'd have wicked good fast food meals. I want to go to jail at the mall. I don't want to go to jail.
You know, it's funny though. They've been talking about their security for the last couple of days, you know, in a general sort of way. But they have cameras that, you know, if you're in the mall, you're on camera. No matter where you are, you're on camera. And they have thousands of cameras that are watched. They had people on, the Paul Blart mall cop on the Segway. I think they have Segways. Yeah, they have Segways. And then the one time we were at the mall, and you see them riding around on Segways, it just makes you kind of laugh. They patrol the parking is like, you know, 8-9 stories of parking, in outside parking, inside parking, you know, so there's a lot of security, interestingly enough. But you know, if you're going to hit someplace, that probably wouldn't be your best idea, because they're going to know you're in there and they're going to get at you pretty quickly. So, you know, because they're going to notice, and they're doing that backpack thing too, where they're not letting you go in there with big bags or anything. So, this kind of thing can happen anywhere, and it's just interesting that they're saying it and they're making it such, you know, so tied to this mall and the other two that I mentioned. So
yeah, it's one of the most well known. Like, I think everybody, just about everybody, has heard of the Mall of America. There's big malls. There's big malls everywhere. I was at one in Houston that was, it was ridiculously large. It had an indoor skating rink and Ferris wheel and all kinds of things. It's probably about the same size as the Mall of America. And there's one in
New York
State, like just north of the New Jersey border. I think it's called the Palisades Mall. It's the same thing, you know. But the Mall of America is the most well known, which is why they would choose that if their propaganda.
There's a Nickelodeon Universe, which is, you know, the big. A smaller roller coaster in there, and like kids games, and you know, some water rides and stuff like that. And Legoland, which is like, you know, every boy's dream. And some girls too. I shouldn't just say that. So, but and then they're actually expanding it, so it's going to be a bigger behemoth than it is now. There's a phase two, and they're working on phase two, which is going to make it immensely huge. So it's like the capitalism mecca of the United States. I mean, it's just gigantic. If you could think of American capitalism, you could go across the street to Swedish capitalism. There's a little IKEA down there too.
Funny. They just opened last summer. They just opened an amusement park or a theme park called Diggerland. And there's a couple of them in the UK, but it's the first one in the United States, and it's in New Jersey,
Did you say digger? D-I-G-G-E-R?
Yeah, it's a construction equipment themed amusement park where the rides are, you know, all construction themed. Plus, there are scaled down versions of real heavy equipment that kids can play with, like front end loaders and bulldozers and stuff to play in the dirt. And like, we're just dying to take my grandson there because he. He lives and breathes construction equipment. He's got a whole, you know. He learned how to say, you know, words like excavation and, you know, front end loader and backhoe, and before he learned how to say, you know, mommy and daddy. You know.
That's cool.
You know, we have a whole set of Tonka trucks with real dirt in our yard, so he plays with that. But he's still too young. He'll be three in May. But you have to be a certain height. So as soon as he's big enough, like, you know, I think that the grandpas and his father is just as excited as he doesn't even know yet, but he's gonna go nuts when we get him there. But what a great
that's pretty
idea.
Awesome. I love that.
Well, do we want to bring up that other topic?
We can bring up the other topic. It looks like we have two callers, too. So did you want me to release the hounds?
Release the hounds. Release the hounds.
Okay. Hold on just one second. Okay. Okay, callers, both of you are on. The person that's calling from area code 774, what's your name?
That's just me on my other phone. The other one died.
It wasn't one I recognized.
We need new blood. Come on.
Okay. All right. And then Michael's also on, I believe. So.
Not new blood. Forget Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Michael.
What's up, my friend? Hey, Heidi, you know, you're laughing a lot. I haven't told you one single joke yet.
So what did you want to talk about, Michael?
Well, there's four things I have in mind. And I should say I would like to start off a little humorous, and I'll finish with a little humor. First off, here's to all the Republicans that cause us nothing but grief and trouble and being a pain in the ass. Just like that. Did you hear that?
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Good. Good. I wanted to sink in their stinking heads. And the one person that really deserves that is, you mentioned his name earlier, Rudy Giuliani.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, indeed. Because I got to tell you.
Don't tell me you have something to say about Rudy Giuliani.
Say what? Come again?
What were you going to say, Michael? He just said that he can't. He was just being sarcastic.
Well, he definitely does piss me off, especially me being a New Yorker. I mean, people want to act so damn shocked. Oh my God! I can't believe Rudy said those things about President Obama. Or he was America's mayor. He's really flipped his lid. I'm like, give it a rest already, because I'm one of the very progressive liberal New Yorkers that said time and time and time again, what a cold-hearted son of a bitch Rudy Giuliani is during his years as mayor, even beforehand as federal prosecutor. He's the one that has really corrupted the New York Police Department. And now the very same deadly rhetoric being carried on by PBA President Pat Lynch as far as the NYPD is concerned. But Mr. Giuliani taking cheap shots at President Obama and then at the First Lady as well, the man is a cold-hearted, sinister, tyrannical, fascist, racist, a sinister, and a terrorist. And I go on record stating that the guy has a problem with people of color, the police that have killed unarmed African Americans. He always referred to as thugs, and they always had it coming. Anything, everything negative, just to continue that kind of rhetoric, and it encourages more and more injustice. It's just a freaking miracle that his ass hasn't been arrested yet and be brought on federal civil rights charges. Now, you know what's so scary about this? I fear for our great president only because there's a certain Republican female in the name of Sarah Palin who's issuing deadly rhetoric and even took targets towards many Democrats. One of them was Gabby Giffords, if you recall. And look what happened with Ms. Giffords. So who knows, heaven forbid, what could happen to our president. And so that was one area I wanted to talk about. And the other area, I saw the breaking news. You still with me?
Yeah.
All right. I saw the breaking news about George Zimmerman not facing any federal civil rights charges. That was indeed an outrage, I admit. I was so pissed off about it. But I had to take a step back and I said, wait a minute. Because if it wasn't for Republican assholes like Jeb Bush, who wants to run for president, oh, I will unload a whole bunch of fact checks on him the same way I did with Giuliani. But nonetheless, this was the guy who signed Stand Your Ground into law and has been warned to be very highly racially discriminative. And then the current governor, Rick Scott, enhanced that racial discrimination going on. And the thing is that when we saw how the hell the trial went down, this was a fixed system against people of color and perhaps even against women as well. How the hell is it that you're going to allow George Zimmerman and even fix the freaking case for him to get off, saying he had a right to defend himself and declare Stand Your Ground, but then you had a black woman named Marissa Alexander who was a victim of domestic violence. She's cornered in her house by an intruder, her ex-husband, boyfriend, lover. I don't give a flying fart. The thing is, the bastard had no business inside her house. She has a shotgun firing a warning shot into the wall. No one's killed. No one's hurt. No one's even struck by the freaking bullet. And she was sentenced to 20 years. And thankfully, that sentence was overturned when it got nationwide attention as to the bullshit that was going on in Florida. And people can't get their hands or can't open their eyes to see what the F is going on in Florida, I got news for you. Stevie Wonder, as blind as he is, he sure as hell can see better than a lot of us. And he said that until Florida repeals its Stand Your Ground principles and its precedents and its laws, he said he would never, ever again step foot in Florida and perform there again. And he's made it clear for these other states that want to enhance Stand Your Ground. He knows he's black, but he also knows the BS going on. What the hell's going on? Here's the man, musical genius, he's blind, he goes and puts his hand on the piano, and what the hell, he's going to get shot down and the people say, we thought he was reaching for a gun, when he's reaching for the 88 keys. Come on!
Well, I would like to speak about the Zimmerman ruling today. as far as the federal hate crime statute. They sent it to the feds after Zimmerman was acquitted to see if there was anything federally that could be done. Now here's the issue with the federal hate crime statute, and there's the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which is Title 18, Section 249 of that's the statute. So here's the problem with federal hate crime statute, and it's not the only one, but it's one of the ones that's relevant in this situation. Someone of one color killing someone of another color does not meet the standard for a hate crime. So a hate crime does not necessarily mean that it has to be murder. Doesn't necessarily even mean that it has to be violent. It just has to be against someone because of their race, because of their national origin, because of their gender, because of their because of their sexual orientation, all of that. Disability is also included. Now, with that, it has to be pretty blatant reaction or action towards someone. So, for example, you are Jewish, you come home from work, and there's a cross burning on your yard, and it's spray painted into your garage, "Go home, Jew." That is a hate crime. It's obviously the cross burning, which could be against many different racial and ethnic groups, but the "Go home, Jew," that's obvious what that's about. So the person who did that could be charged federally for a hate crime. What happened to Matthew Shepard, which he was targeted because of his sexual orientation and beaten and died because of it, that was a hate crime. James Byrd Jr., what happened to him, they went out to find a black man, they found one, they put him behind their car, and he died. So those are very specific types of hate crimes. Those are absolute hate crimes. Those are easy to say yes, point at and say yes, that's a hate crime. What happened
Zimmerman, wasn't it a civil rights file? Civil rights, or is that all part of the same fact?
I was reading the parts about the civil rights part, and it's quite vague, actually. It's pretty much that you stop this particular person from, exercising their civil rights. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? He was, in the case of Trayvon Martin, was he speaking at a, was he speaking in front of a group about African American issues or something that was related to, say his gender or his race or his religion or something like that, and he was attacked? No, it doesn't fit that. Let me finish my thought first. Okay. So, it really depends on, and it has to be very, very blatant. When I'm reading through these laws, and we can discuss if we think that those laws are just. I mean, just because I'm saying what the laws are, I could have a discussion with everyone about it, how I feel it should change or whatever. But what I'm saying and what I'm talking about is how the laws are written. And the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Act actually made it easier, if you will, to have someone be convicted or at least charged with a federally recognized hate crime. What Zimmerman did did not rise to that level, according to the laws that I read. And it is extremely difficult, typically, for a federal crime, federal hate crime, to actually be charged. Matthew Shepard and James Byrd were two of the best examples of when that is being used. Obviously, though, that act wasn't in place then, but they, so the perpetrators of those crimes were charged under other laws. But so the most, every state has civil rights laws, has hate crime laws of some sort. Some are much tougher than others. And the state of Missouri, there was nothing there. Going to the federal government, it's extremely difficult, and it never rose to a level that they could prosecute under. And, you know, some of this is, of course, objective. It's, you know, one person's hate crime is another person's regular, you know, regular run-of-the-day murder. I think, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions, I think, about these types of laws and what they do and what they say. Just, you know, and like I said before, it, you know, just because one person's one race and somebody else is another race, that doesn't mean that there's a race or a hate crime. Just because somebody's gay and the person who kills them is straight, that doesn't negate a hate crime. Even if the person that's straight and killed the person that was gay is extremely homophobic, unless they did something untoward that would be, you know, killing that person or injuring that person or going after that person because of a sexual orientation can be, you know, pretty much without a doubt shown, he or she is not going to get charged in this. And, you know, that's just how it's written. Now, you know, again, we can argue or we can have a discussion. Is that right? Should it be looser? But remember, if it goes looser, then you're hitting, people are getting charged with hate crimes that are not, that should not be possibly. And you know, I guess, again, that's something that we could have a discussion about, but that's the way the law is written. And well,
I do understand what you're saying, Heidi, and it all sounds, you know, quite accurate. And the thing is that I would question if the Justice Department reviewed the 911 tape in which he is supposedly said those fucking coons, C-O-O-N-S, which is described as a racial epithet. I certainly do not want to repeat the words, but someone else is saying, no, he didn't use the racial slur. He said goons, G-O-O-N-S. But the thing is that he was told...
Using that word, or using a similar word, does not meet the level of, does not meet the standard of the federal law.
Right.
And I mean, that's what it is. It has to be way more than that. So again, what is the premise? You know, it has to be really blatant.
Right, exactly. And the other issue regarding Zimmerman, now I want to get to the other players in a moment, but regarding Zimmerman, he was told by the dispatchers do not bother following Trayvon, and Zimmerman declined to follow those, you know, particular orders or requests by a Florida official. So even though the Justice Department could not find anything against Zimmerman for any federal charges, I did discuss this before, and I did point out that Zimmerman may not face any federal charges, but that does not stop the Justice Department from reviewing this case further as possibly having federal criminal charges brought against the police department, maybe brought against the prosecutor, the defense attorney, or even the judge for that matter, because of an apparent obstruction of justice and a clear attempt, in my view, to deny the family and friends of Trayvon Martin any kind of justice and closure. that this was a blatant setup from the beginning, and even the cops in question were coaching Zimmerman as to how
right.
to testify and so forth.
I know that the federal, the Justice Department is, I don't know if they still are, but I know that at one point they were looking into the Sanford Police Department. But, you know, double jeopardy on the federal level, you know, or the state level cannot, you know, he can't be tried again for the same crime. And that's why they were trying to do it. Well, it would be, I mean, there's nothing for Zimmerman at this point to be charged with federally. If he can't be charged with a civil rights violation or under the federal hate crime statute, there is nothing that he can do, that the defense can do for Zimmerman. The police department's a different matter, and they, you know, those kind of things can lag on for years because there's a lot of investigating they have to do. Same with the Ferguson Police Department. I know there was a couple of things that came out about them recently. So those kind of investigations take a very long time, and they take a very long time on purpose to make sure that they have all that information. The Justice Department does not move quickly. The Justice Department moves very slowly. No matter what kind of case it is, they always do because they want to make sure that what they're doing and who they're prosecuting is the right person and for the right reason. So, you know, for Zimmerman, this was the last. There's nowhere to go from here. There's no place for anybody to go. This was the end. Because there's no other way to go after him. I mean, the family can go after him civilly if they wanted to, federally. Criminally, it's not going to happen. And that's, you know, right. Again, we can discuss that's okay, but the law says that's the farthest they can go. So there's two issues here. Police department and that type of thing is a completely different thing. If a family wants to sue, they can sue simply. I don't know what they would get, but they can do it. But Zimmerman, this is the end for him for this case. There's nowhere to go. And truthfully, when they first, you know, sent it to the Justice Department, I he was not overtly racist to, you know, there wasn't anything that was going to hit that standard. He didn't do anything that was going to hit that standard. Darren Wilson's not going to get anything federally either, unless there's some stuff in his background they can find that shows that he, you know, wanted to kill someone that was African American, and he was going to go, you know, if they find evidence to that, possibly. I don't see that happening, but that's very possible. But Zimmerman, there's nothing. He can't be. It's not going to happen.
Can I make a slight correction on that? For in regards to Trayvon Martin, yes, 100% spot on, Heidi. But let's remember that he always facing other criminal charges and unrelated matters. The guy kept getting in trouble.
That would have nothing to do with Trayvon. Right. That would have nothing to do with Trayvon.
Right. Exactly.
That has nothing to do with Trayvon.
The only way Zimmerman will be in this particular example would be just an example if there was a federal prosecution or a federal case against the police and the prosecutors for a systemic pattern of, let's say, racial profiling or obstruction of justice. And that's
all. That would be the police department that would be in having the issue. Zimmerman would be out of it, even if they said that there was some improprieties during the trial. You cannot, the way federal law is and the way our laws are written, it would be double jeopardy to try him again. We can't.
It would be.
I mean, cannot redo it. It's just like, you know, just as an example, if O.J. came out on TV and said, yeah, I did it, bitches, I did it, and we couldn't do anything to him because he's already been tried and found not guilty, that's where we end. We can't do anything past that and because he's already had his day in court. There's nothing you can do, and that's the way the law is written.
And even though I'm probably one of the few people that thinks that he did not do it, the thing is that you can't even charge him with perjury because he never testified at trial.
Right. I mean, and again, anything as far as you know, as far as Zimmerman with the Trayvon issue, it's done. It's gone. It's, you know, it's ended. And, you know, that, and that's just the way the law is written. And that's just the way it, you know, not to sound silly, but that's just the way it is. Whether he does something past this that puts him back into, you know, puts him back in front of a judge, that's on him at this point. Oh, shit, did I just get rid of it? Is everybody still up?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
He's just insane in the membrane.
Sorry. I'm just having technical difficulties. Talk amongst yourselves while I fix it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
okay.
Heidi
Sorry.
Holland
no,
is
I'm
experiencing
fine now.
Technical difficulties.
Okay. No, it's fine. It's fine now.
I know
it's back up. So, but yeah, so that's what's going on with that. I mean, it's there's really nowhere to go from there, and sadly, that's just the way it is. They can sue civilly. I don't know if they will. I don't know how much they would get out of it, or if it's just going to be a long, protracted trial with no real ending of anything, because he doesn't have any money. So. You know, I guess it just kind of depends on where they want to go. So, so Jeff, we have about 13 minutes left. Did you want to talk about the Keystone Pipeline, or did you? Was there? We have a couple of different things we were still looking to maybe speak of. Did you want to talk about John Travolta? I see that's on your list.
not really. I don't have anything to say about other than Michael is one of my favorite movies. I know the one where he's an angel.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I was about to say, this one was not a movie, and then I realized what he was talking about.
That was what, was that in the 80s or was that the 90s?
There's a great dance scene in that. I mean, he's, I don't know what's going on with him now, but I don't know. It was really, you know.
Can I tell you my favorite John Travolta movie?
Did some weird things at the Oscars.
Yeah.
But I always liked him. He was great in Saturday Night Fever.
I love that movie.
Yeah, so did I.
Saturday Night Fever. Grew up on disco, baby.
He was a really good dancer, you know, in his day, and Quentin Tarantino kind of, you know, revived his career with putting him in Pulp Fiction, and again,
Pulp Fiction was really good. That was amazing.
He's a lot of fun. He's a lot of fun to watch. It's not Citizen Kane, any of his stuff, but I don't think I've ever seen a John Travolta movie that didn't at least entertain me.
That's very true.
So I think he just looks kind of weird.
I think he's called the Botox.
Like it's plastered to his head. he lost his son like tragically a few years ago, and
true.
Something like that is probably something you never recover from. So I. Anything he does that's kind of, you know, only doesn't hurt anybody, I'd give him a pass on that. Like who am I to judge?
Can I ask you guys a question about John Travolta?
Yeah.
You said that he did, you know, weird things, and of course that was before you remind about the tragic loss of his son. But I don't recall him doing anything weird, and I'm sure it wouldn't match up to the antics of, say, Kanye West at the Grammy Awards and all that?
No, I just saw a couple of film clips, some clips
on the morning shows this morning and maybe the day before not really remarkable, but
His issue was last year on the Academy Awards. He mispronounced, and I'm going to kill the name.
Adiza
Mendel's name. See, I probably just butchered it myself, so I apologize if anybody knows what I'm talking about and knows I just butchered it. But so he butchered that name last year, and it was just some random, really bad, not even close. And then this year he did it correctly, but I think this year was because he's probably really nervous about it because he screwed up last year.
This year he
touched her, and that was kind of creepy. And so that was kind of where the whole thing, became a little odd. But, in the grand scheme of Hollywood, that's not exactly the weirdest thing I've seen, nor will it probably be the thing that everybody would talk about anyway, really. I mean, it's not that big a deal. Patricia Arquette's speech about equality, wage equality for women, I thought that was great. And it's true. I mean, when you read, when you see that people like Julie Roberts get millions less than her male co-stars, and she's the star of the show, technically, or Meryl Streep the same, that's a big issue in Hollywood. And I know, the right-wing, people on Fox are going crazy about that issue. They're rich, what difference does it make? Well, it does make a difference. It makes a difference no matter what you're making. If you're making $8 an hour and your husband's making $10 an hour, it matters. It matters if you're making $10 million and your husband's making $12 million, it matters. Right. Doing the same thing, there's no reason why you can't get paid the same. And I think what she said was amazing. And John Legend too, speaking of inequality and bringing up all that. I mean, there's some really important things being said during the Oscars. And, that's one of the reasons that I really like the Oscars. They're not afraid to say, speak their mind, usually. And then the gentleman...
A lot of it is truth, too.
I know I posted it on my page. I need to look it up here because I'm going to butcher the guy's name, too. But he was talking about... the hashtag stay weird, and he was talking about the fact that he, felt like, killing himself when he was, when he was a kid, and he dedicated his award to everybody who, felt weird or felt left out and that type of thing. And Jeff, this, that Dave and I, work with suicide prevention and that type of thing. So, for me, it really resonated and was really an important, really something important for him to say, which is one of the things, again, that I like about the Oscars is you can get it out. So it's Graham Moore who won for Best Adapted Screenplay for The Imitation Game, and so he talked about suicide. So I thought that was extremely important and heartfelt and, one of those things that they get a forum to speak about these kind of things, and then they speak about them and it resonates. So that was really important, really, really an important thing to talk about. So, a lot of the Oscars can be kind of funny and weird. And, Neil Patrick Harris, I love him, but I didn't think he did that awesome of a job. But I guess, in the grand scheme of things, it's still the Oscars and, he did a pretty okay job, all things considered. It's nice that they have a forum and that they get it out and people listen and people get it. John Legend too, like I said before, spoke about inequality and spoke about that's what's important, for African Americans and that type of thing. So I think it's. you know, with all the pomp and circumstance and the 6,000 pearls on a dress and all that stuff, there is some stuff in the Oscars that I really like to watch because, you know, even though some of it lags and, you know, they are able to speak their mind and talk about issues that, you know, start to resonate with people, and that's a positive thing. Jeff, we have a little less than 5 minutes, Jeff. What else did you want to say?
I got nothing else. Nothing that we can squeeze into 4 minutes. I liked Patricia Arquette. I don't know if you saw Boardwalk Empire last two seasons of Boardwalk Empire. She was in that. She was really, really great in that. And that TV show where she was a medium.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was called Medium.
Oh, Patricia Arquette. Yeah.
Yeah. I always liked her.
If you haven't seen the movie Boyhood, it's a really good movie, Jeff. So if you haven't seen it, it's really good.
Her lineage as coming of an acting family goes back turn of the century. Not this century, the other century. And she's the first Arquette to win an Academy Award. That's a little factoid there.
Yeah, hugely talented. Yeah, David Arquette. Patricia, what's the other girl's name?
Rosanna.
Rosanna Arquette. And then their brother is, I think, transgender.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember his name. So, yeah, so they have a transgender brother. And I'm saying transgender brother because I can't remember if he's actually changed yet. But yeah, so they have a very talented family, very, very talented.
Goes back generations. Like if you're old enough to remember Hollywood Squares,
So I'm at the Peter Marshall Holstein.
Yes, Charlie Weaver. There was a guy named Charlie Weaver, but his real name.
I remember him.
He's the grandfather of the. Of the Arquettes that we know. Their family goes way back. You know, kind of like the Barrymores. So. Anyway,
nice.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
We're gonna have another great show next Tuesday. That wraps up our 50th show. I still can't believe we've done that many, and we're still doing it. And we haven't. None of us has gotten sick and tired of it yet. I still look forward to it.
I gotta give you guys kudos. You guys rock 100%. And Heidi, I gotta give you kudos for raising the issue about the income inequality between men and women, because we need to also remember that there are situations where men are getting paid more than women, but yet the women are performing the same job functions and better and beyond than the men are. And I think that was a crucial point that Patricia Arquette was making at the Oscars. I mean, these guys know when to raise awareness.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it's important, and we may have to hit that topic on another show, Jeff. What do you think?
If we can find somebody, maybe anybody who's an HR.
I might have to take a look at something like that. So we have 58 seconds.
Okay. I'm done. I'm going to say goodnight, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, okay.
Good night,
everybody.
All the best.
Bye-bye.